วะขาดพระโทเบหะจัตถานิรเวดอาตมาบานริดิคริตวาหริมเกหะพระบรเจสานโรตมะ
He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Purport by His Divine Grace.A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely one, the dhira, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment.And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world,may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of home,But a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should, therefore, practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc.In association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship Him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world.Especially in India, and they are our guides in the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. The great Mahatma Vidura.Is herein continuing his instructions to his blind and miserable brother, Dhritarashtra. He is explaining in these verses to Dhritarashtra the utterly shameful position that he is in.He lived a life of great sin. in order to try to prolong the facilities that were bringing him so much enjoyment, in order to maintain his power, his control, his fame, he engaged in abominable activities. And now he has lost everything. All his attempts have failed. He's old. His liver is defective. He's coughing. He's hard of hearing. All the various organs of the body are shutting down through the natural course of old age. And still, he's trying to cling to whatever he can to enjoy in this world. Dhritarashtra represents essentially all materialistic people in this world. We live our life exploiting the property of God in so many ways, but by the power of time, everything gradually is stripped away from us, our health, our power of enjoyment, and yet still we are clinging, hoping against hope that just a little longer we can hold on to our material life. This is the sad condition of a human being. In this way, by the power of Maya, the opportunity which is given to the human existence of self-realization is taken away by illusion. When we die, if we have not understand our eternal relationship with God, then our human life is a waste. Just as Dhruva Maharaj, he was seeking material pleasures, but when he realized the beauty and the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he claimed that I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but I have found the rare and precious diamond of your grace. But in an opposite way, material civilization, although we all have the opportunity to possess this great and precious diamond of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, we are throwing away this diamond in order to seek the broken pieces of glass of material enjoyment, material proprietorship. The glass glitters like a diamond, but it has no value. It has no longevity. And ultimately, that broken glass will only cause you to bleed and suffer. And without great devotees like Vidura, those compassionate souls coming down in the disciplic succession from the Lord, we really have no hope of disentangling ourselves from this network of material entanglement. Because this illusion is so strong, the broken pieces of glass of material proprietorship and enjoyment appear so attractive, and the diamond of Krishna consciousness is completely obscured by its artificial glitter. And we become so much attached to the sources of misery in the form of material life that we are hopelessly, birth after birth after birth, working in so many ways to achieve more. We declare war. We challenge the insurmountable material energy which is conducted by time itself, to try to preserve and hold on to whatever little we have for our life in this material world. In material society, when a materialistic person is on his deathbed and he's so completely attached to his body, to his family members, to whatever little, he's not even enjoying, he's miserable, but still he's attached to the hope that someday there may be some enjoyment. Due to that incredible attachment, he just fights like anything to go on living with such determination. And such a person is glorified as the greatest being by human society. We have all seen how the materialists glorify that he has come out of such deathly, terrible crises because of his will to live. He has such determination and will to live that he has overcome what practically no one can overcome, death itself. But what is this will to live? It is simply his intensive, excessive attachment to the illusion of this misconception that I am the enjoyer and I am this body. And what is glorified by the materialistic people as being something so wonderful is condemned by those in knowledge. And that is exactly what Vidura is doing. Dhritarashtra is so attached that despite humiliation, despite old age and disease, he's determined to maintain whatever position he possibly can against all odds of time. Dhritarashtra would be a great hero by material calculation. Through thick and thin, through so much failures, through so much heartbreak, still he has the will to enjoy and preserve whatever he has. But Vidura is telling him that he is a fool, that the whole material concept of life is for fools. You should give it up. Real intelligence means to give up all of these things. Give up the bleeding process of playing with the broken glass of material existence and accept the rare diamond of human existence, Krishna consciousness. But you cannot have both. You have to accept one or the other. This is Vidura's wonderful teaching to Dhritarashtra. As long as you maintain your insatiable attachments to the illusions of this world, you are depriving yourself of the real wealth of self-realization. The soul is eternal. The body is temporary. The body is in the process of death from its very conception in the womb of the mother. To prolong the body simply for the illusion of enjoyment, it's a great sin. But to prolong the body to be utilized for its real purpose of devotional service, that is intelligence. Therefore, just as the materialistic people, they may take medicines when they are ill, they may take certain precautions when they are becoming old. Similarly, the devotees will do like this. But their motive is altogether different. One is doing it out of attachment for an illusion, and one is doing it to pursue the highest truth. So there is a great difference. Although sometimes materialistic people and devotees appear to be doing the same thing for the same purpose, the purpose is actually altogether different. Yanisha Sarava Bhutanam. Krishna explains that what is night for a materialistic person is the time of awakening for a devotee, and vice versa. materialistic people, they are very awake to struggling for their own false egos and the desires therein. Devotees sleep to these things. In fact, they fight against the very desires that the materialists are working so hard to fulfill. Devotees are striving for something that is beyond the material senses. And the materialistic people cannot understand. What is this? Why? Live, be happy, enjoy. There are so many facilities in this world. Why should you dedicate your life and sacrifice so much for what you cannot even see, for what you do not even know whether it is even there? This is ignorance. This is the power of Maya. On the basis of Guru, on the basis of Sadhu and the holy Shastra, the devotees understand with full conviction that real happiness is to achieve those things which aren't beyond the perception of the senses, and to live according to that principle. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in so many wonderful ways in this world, through the form of the deity, through the form of his name, through the sound of his pastimes, through the association of his devotees. In this way, he makes himself approachable through the very senses that we have now. But at the same time, we understand that the existence and the realization of God is beyond the mind and beyond the senses. It is on the platform of our very soul. And devotees are willing to give their lives to strive to achieve this principle. And they have no hesitation to put aside any of the temporary sources of misery which may come between us and that realization. We should not die a miserly life, simply greedy for material things. Before this body falls, we must strive to detach ourselves from anything except the truth. And Krishna explains, what is the truth? That all living beings are part of him, are in him, and are his property. That we are his eternal servants. Krishna consciousness is that process which is being broadcasted by those great acharyas following in the lotus footprints of Vidura. Approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the proper goal of life. Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully explains in the purport the three classes of transcendentalists. The dhira, or one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. One in the renounced order of life due to frustrated sentiment. And the sincere devotee who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting, leaving everything depending completely on the personality of Godhead within his heart. And Srila Prabhupada explains that people who leave material attachments due to frustration and sentiment in this material world, through this process it is a stepping stone to real self-realization. But to utilize the things of this world in Krishna's service, to depend completely on Krishna, is actually the perfection of the evolution of our consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explains that one who desires material benefit by devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional activities means devotion to the demigods, devotion even to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we are approaching the Lord or His servants to fulfill our material benefits, the priceless jewel of dependence on the Lord, which is the only means of real salvation, can never take place. It is explained here that for such materialistic devotees, they may be blessed by the Lord by being given material benefits, but they cannot come to the stage of a first-class human being. Devotees put on the pedestal of their heart only this principle of striving to be a first-class human being. We may have material desires, but we approach the Lord to become free from those material desires. We approach the Lord for devotional service. We approach the Lord begging Him to give us the power to surrender to Him. Such people who approach the Lord in this way will gradually become free from all of their material attachments. And such people will gradually be given the gift of total dependence on Krishna within their hearts. But people who approach the Lord or the demigods, doing devotional activities, performing puja, performing sacrifice, with the desire for material benefits, it is explained here, the Lord blesses them by giving them material benefits. And they never come to the stage through that process of liberation from the cycle of birth or death, nor do they come to the stage of being able to depend on Krishna. Throughout India, there has been such religious fervor because particular demigods have been blessing people by showing them some material activity, some benefit. Materialistic activities approach the demigods because they want materialistic results. They want material assets for themselves given. And they want to see materialistic things. They want to hear materialistic things. They want to experience materialistic things because it is their only reality. So people who approach the gods in this way with materialistic desires, the gods will sometimes, out of their kindness, bless such materialistic devotees by fulfilling their materialistic desires. My dear Lord, it is my material desire that you drink this milk. So he drinks the milk. That is the blessing they receive, that they see the milk being drunk. But through this process of getting this blessing from the demigods, do they become completely dependent on Krishna? Do they become completely detached from material enjoyment? Is there even any progress in this process? They have material desires, and one of their little material desires is fulfilled. And that is all that is accomplished. Devotees do not want to see material signs from God. Devotees want to give their lives with faith to Krishna. Krishna accepts our offering when it is offered with devotion. And we make advancement when Krishna accepts our devotion. if our devotion is actually to please him, he accepts that sentiment to please him, and we become completely purified gradually through this process. If we offer Krishna milk for his pleasure with the only motive that Krishna, please accept this, I am offering my heart, my soul to you in the form of this milk, please accept it. He accepts our heart and our soul, and he is satisfied, and we have complete faith that he has accepted it, and we make great spiritual advancement because he accepted our devotion. But if we approach a demigod to offer some milk, and we say, we're not offering our devotion, we're offering our milk, we don't want him to accept our devotion for his satisfaction. We want him to accept our milk for our satisfaction so that we can see something wonderful. Then that demigod may bless his materialistic devotees by drinking the milk. And that's the result. He hasn't taken our devotion, he's taken our milk. Do we make any progress if he takes our milk? The only progress we make is we can say, I have seen, I have seen. There's no other benefit. We approach for some material purpose, and he performs some activity to give us a material benefit for our material satisfaction. Therefore, there is no spiritual progress through this process. Therefore, devotees, with smile and folded hands, they say, very nice. The demigods are satisfying their materialistic devotees. Very nice. But it is unintelligent, according to Krishna in Gita. It is not our purpose. Our purpose is to follow in the footsteps of Vidura, to understand what is the real treasure of life, to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for that which is immortal. Srila Prabhupada would say, when you approach a rich man, you should not ask for something cheap. When we approach the Supreme Godhead, we should ask for the most priceless thing. And what is the most priceless thing? Pure, unalloyed devotion to his lotus feet. We should not ask Krishna for anything else. If you ask him for anything else, he may give you that. But he will not give you pure devotional service. Until we learn to exclusively beg for him for that, he will never give us that. And we associate with devotees and perform our sadhana so we can gradually come to that platform where we can beg Krishna, I only want your pure devotional service. Do as you like with me. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, if you like, you can save me, protect me. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can give me. If you like, you can take everything away. You can do anything you like because I am your servant and I am only begging you for service. That is what we strive for. That is called real devotion. So-called devotion, when we are begging God or the demigods for our own material benefits, that is materialistic devotion. And all you get out of it is materialistic results. So many people addicted to eating meat, drinking liquor. People who are materialistic, simply striving for money, greedy people. They approached Lord Ganapati. Drink this milk. I want to see. I want to see. So he drinks the milk. That is the blessing. And they see. But from seeing, are they willing to reciprocate? and give up their drinking, give up their eating meat, give up their material pursuits? Are they willing to detach themselves from material enjoyment? Are they willing to 100% strive to dedicate themselves to become his selfless servants? We have not read any of these things in the newspapers. All we have read is, I have seen, I saw it with my own eyes. That is the result that they have seen. And the cycle of birth and death continues. So we do not care for the blessings of the demigods for materialistic desires. If we take these things seriously, it is a great impediment to our devotional service. We are seeking those things that are beyond sense perception. We should not seek the things that are within our sense perception. We will utilize them for Krishna's service. And this is the real process of faith. Every time we make an offering to Krishna, we know a miracle is being performed. We know he is accepting our bhakti. We don't have to see anything. Krishna doesn't have to prove to us. For faithless materialistic people, Krishna may have to prove something to us. But as far as we are concerned, we have faith in his word. We have faith in the words of his devotees. And it is through this faith that we make spiritual progress. So yes, there are so many sensationalistic things happening in this world. Great mystic yogis can also do things that appear supernatural to the ordinary man. Krishna Chandra and myself, we have seen during the Conference of World Religions in Chicago, we have seen mystic yogis one mystic he's a nice person. That's really all I really can say about him. He's a nice person. He was asking me, at least every time I'd see him, please come to my performance, please come, I want you to come, please come. I've already seen his... All right, I will come. So there was some hundreds of people. He rolled up his sleeve, he took his hand, showed everyone in the audience, closed his hand, opened it, there was a Shivalinga. Beautiful Shivalinga. This is not a trick, he did it. There's no question. There were people in front of him, behind him. He opened his hand, there was a Shivalinga. Right, Krishna Chandra? He put the Shivalinga on the podium that he was speaking from, and then he closed his hand and he started moving his hands, and ashes started falling from his hand as an offering to the Shivalinga. And ashes were pouring from his hand, so many ashes, until the whole Shivalinga was completely covered by a mountain of ashes. And then he wiped off the ashes, and he said, and people were looking like, oh, very nice, how is he doing? And he was, you know, some yogis, they have such powers from some previous births of karma, and they say, worship me as God. But at least this person was a gentleman. After he showed it, he said to everybody, this is not a spiritual thing, this is completely material. He said, if you just practice certain types of processes, you can do it too. This is a material thing. This is not spiritual. He said, I've just done this so that you will listen to what I say. But through listening to what I say and living a good life, then you can achieve spiritual things. But this is not spiritual. Huh? You remember? So he was kind of a transcendental madman, but at the same time, he was honest. So he's a human being. And he can perform these things. So what is the surprise if Ganesh, the son of Shiva, If he does something extraordinary, is that a great surprise to us? Your little babies are drinking milk every day. You're drinking milk every day. Is that such a miracle? If you think that Ganesh is an idol, if you think he's just a piece of stone, that he's not there, then it's a miracle that he drinks your milk. But you're drinking milk every day, and everybody's just walking by saying, huh, so what? Everyone's been drinking milk every day. If Ganesh is in the deity, if we have faith that he's there, then he can drink milk. For devotees, we say, yes, of course, he could drink milk. So what? Very nice. The question is, are you surrendering your life to be the servant of the servant of the Lord? If you are doing that, then there's some material benefit, there's some spiritual benefit. So for foolish materialistic people who want to see materialistic things, sometimes they are blessed by the gods to see something material. But Srila Prabhupada warns us, do not fall into that trap, because through this process you will not develop dependence on God. It is through hearing from the words of great souls like Vidura that we make real spiritual progress. So here he is explaining to Dhritarashtra, give up all your materialistic conceptions. Give up all your materialistic hopes. When you're young, the illusion is strong that I have a long life to enjoy. That is an illusion. But when you're old and your body is falling to pieces, you're supposed to realize that it's all been an illusion. It's all been a waste of time. But if you're still clinging to that false hope, that is the most degraded and unfortunate condition in life. As long as Dhritarashtra was successful in the pursuance of his illusion, he couldn't give it up. But now that he's a total failure, and everything around him is dismal and dark, hopeless, at this time he's able to hear Vidura. Vidura was speaking the same transcendental message to Dhritarashtra throughout his life. But because of utter failure and frustration, for the first time he's able to hear. And Vidura, such a faithful and loving devotee and brother, he never gave up on Dhritarashtra. He was willing to risk his life. He was willing to lose everything of the world to try to help his brother. Vidura was living in luxury in Hastinapur. He had his own beautiful house. He had so much reputation, so many servants. He had everything. If he just would have quietly just let Dhritarashtra do what he wanted, he could have just continued living in opulence. But he was willing to risk losing everything to help his brother. And that's exactly what happened. He was persistently giving transcendental guidance to his brother, even though he knew that there was every chance that he would be insulted, humiliated. In fact, Duryodhana told him that the only thing, if you leave the kingdom at this particular moment, the only thing I'll allow you to keep is your power to breathe. So Vidura left. He took it as Krishna's arrangement. And Dhritarashtra, who he gave his life to try to help, Dhritarashtra simply watched Duryodhana insult him and kick him away, and he did nothing to help him. Vidura was willing to risk everything to help Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra was not even willing to lift a finger or say a word to help Vidura when he was in a great crisis. This is the difference between material life and spiritual life. But still, even after being completely cheated by Dhritarashtra, Vidura came back to try to save him when he was in need. He is certainly a first-class man. Vidura is not talking about second, third, or fourth-class man. Vidura is talking about first-class man. And similarly, the true Vaishnavas, they will only speak about first-class devotional service. They will not speak or consider anything else. They will not encourage anyone for anything else. People may ask, Ganesh is drinking milk for all the materialistic people. Why are you not fascinated by this? It's not a fascination. Because we're only concerned with first-class devotional service. We're only impressed by first-class devotional service. If these people are offering milk with pure, unalloyed devotion to Ganesh, whether he drinks it or don't drink it, we are impressed. But if they are materialistic people with materialistic motives, we have no attraction for this. We give no credibility to this. We fix our mind only on one point, and that is becoming a first-class Narottam, an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, depending on the Lord, sacrificing our lives for the Lord's pleasure. Vidura was not willing to concede to anything less. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world. Even all of the greatest mystic perfections by the greatest demigods and by the greatest mystic yogis, they all fall within the realm of the falsity and misery of this material world. And thus, one who leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. So we come to this temple not to see miracles. We do not come to this temple to receive material benefits. We do not come to this temple to beg for material blessings. We do not come to this temple to beg the Lord to prove his existence. We come to this temple to learn how to be first-class human beings. We come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all of the previous acharyas begging, please, give me the greatest jewel. Give me the power to completely depend on the Lord within my heart and surrender to Him. And it is with this motivation that we come together in the association of devotees and chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And we may smilingly be amused by seeing other materialistic activities going on in the name of religion, but we do not take these things seriously. We only take seriously humility and surrender to the personality of Godhead. Is there any questions? Yes.
This life is meant for sacrifice and austerity. And Srila Prabhupada's movement has given us an institution which gives the opportunity to progress in that way. Sometimes we read about or we hear about people who apparently have had no external form. We don't hear about whether they were chanting or following any regulative principles, but they may have performed some selfless act of some sacrifice. They have sacrificed their lives to save someone else when it was just for a split second decision, and they have actually when they could have saved themselves, they've given up. And this happens on and off. Or they have spontaneously done something and they've actually lost their lives. Can we assume that this cannot happen unless they must have had some basic in spirit, there were actual devotional tendencies, or can it be separated from the process of sadhana bhakti and all that?
You see, Vidura, his concern was not saving the material life of Dhritarashtra. His concern was saving the soul of Dhritarashtra. The Vaishnavas are willing to give their lives to save the soul of another, to liberate the soul of another. Materialistic people who have a selfless materialistic concern may be willing to give their lives to save the physical life of another. And that is materialistic compassion. Spiritual compassion is when we concern ourselves for that person's soul. In fact, Vidura was risking his life to convince Dhritarashtra to give up his life to save his soul. We'll read in the future verses how Dhritarashtra, because of all of his offenses, he had to purify himself through some mystic process, and through mystic fire he actually gave up his life, and Gandhari went into it. So Vidura convinced him to end his life for the salvation of his soul. So that is real compassion. Devotees who have proper sadhana, they have the proper spiritual vision that they're willing to take risks for people's spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada took so many risks, he gave his life. He abused his physical body so treacherously through all of his traveling and preaching. But for what? Not so that we live longer. Not to protect our bodies from dying. He did it for the purpose of liberating our souls. One of our godbrothers, Jayananda, he left his body just the year before Srila Prabhupada left. He had cancer of the blood. He was such a great devotee, such a humble devotee, such a completely surrendered devotee. And after he died, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to his soul, to the soul of his disciple, telling him how proud he was that he perfected his life and he had gone back to Godhead, Goloka Vrindavan, and thanking him for all the wonderful service he had done. So Srila Prabhupada was very satisfied that this devotee had gone back home, back to Godhead. Although he felt separation, no doubt, when we lose a devotee's association, there's pangs of separation. But at the same time, it is the great success if that person goes to Krishna. So that was the compassion of Vidura. That was the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. In the material world, out of some material attachment or out of some sense of material compassion, which may be in the mode of goodness, a person may be willing to die to save another's physical life. Such a person will definitely get a very good material birth for doing such a selfless act for another. But the benefit will only be material. There'll be no spiritual benefit unless that person is actually concentrating on liberating the person's soul. Does that answer your question? So yes, due to material attachment, sometimes a mother may give her life to save her child. Due to material affection, sometimes a friend will step in front of a bullet to save his friend from being killed. Huh? Sometimes due to material affection, a person will risk his life and jump in front of a truck to save another, even if he doesn't even know that person. That is certainly a great virtue in the material world. But but it is not spiritual. Spiritual means related to compassion to a person's eternal soul. Therefore, there are so many welfare workers and philanthropists that do so much to save people and give them a longer life and a happier life. And that is sattva-guna. You'll definitely get some elevation to perhaps heavenly planets or a very auspicious birth in this world by such activities. But when you give someone the information of the goal of life, and when you give them the Maha Mantra, that type of compassion is considered the supreme welfare work, because it gives eternal benefit to the eternal soul. And that is on the spiritual platform. In the battle, in the war, every soldier who is in the front lines has to be willing to give up his life for his country. It's a very selfless act. And it is certainly, in the material sense, they are great heroes. In every country, there are so many monuments for all the soldiers who died willingly for their nation. That is one of the greatest, most selfless material things to do. But there is no spiritual benefit. There is no purification of the soul. Because it's all done within the modes of material nature. It's all done in the ignorance that I am this body and this country is mine. In their previous birth, they may have been residents of the other country. And they may have given their lives. They may have given their lives to protect Pakistan. And in this life, they give their lives to protect India. Huh? How do we know? It is all based in the ignorance that I am this body, and the country that I'm in is sacred. But the soul has nothing to do with this body or any nation. So Srila Prabhupada explains this is called extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness means me. Extended selfishness means those things in relationship to me. And if you're willing to give your life for those things, that is called extended selfishness. From the spiritual point of view, from the material point of view, it's material selflessness. But when we are in knowledge, we understand that this person is not his body. This body is going to die anyway, whether I protect it or not. Let me give this person the way and the means by which he can be liberated from birth and death altogether. That is real compassion. That is the supreme welfare work. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the greatest service to all humanity is to broadcast the glories of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And the greatest act of selflessness is to be willing to accept any type of inconvenience, even at the risk of life, to give people the holy name of Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that if we approach Krishna for material benefits, he will give us material benefits, but we will never get devotional service. We have heard that we should not approach demigods with any material desires. But I had heard that if we approach Krishna with any material desires, as in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he purifies the material desires and he gives you devotional service. Isn't it like that?
That is a long process. Of course, Krishna is above all of the other demigods. He is the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you're actually sincere when you approach Krishna for material benefits, he may take everything away from you. or he may give you. But in any case, ultimately, Krishna, because you're thinking of Krishna, gradually you're going to become purified from all of your material desires. But that process may take many, 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 many births and deaths. Therefore, we do not recommend people to approach Krishna for material things. Why should we approach the Lord for something that will only create misery? Because if you approach Krishna for material things, his greatest mercy will be that he puts you in such a miserable condition that you lose your desire for material things. That is a very indirect process of coming to the same conclusion. So immediately, Krishna may bless us by giving us material things. Just like a mother may pacify the child by giving something. And if the child's satisfied with that, the mother just lets it play. If the child is dissatisfied with everything, then the mother has to give herself. So in the same way, Krishna will offer us so many material ways of trying to be happy. And if we accept any of them, then he'll just let us try to go on trying to be happy with those material things. But if we throw them all down and say, no, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, then ultimately Krishna will give us himself. So from the very beginning we should be wanting Krishna. That is the direct process. But it is said in Bhagavatam that whether you approach Krishna with all material desires, with no material desires, or with a desire for liberation, ultimately, because we're approaching Krishna, because Krishna is all pure, ultimately, in due course of time, Krishna will take away all of our material desires. But that process is very painful and frustrating. He is Hari. He will take away everything inauspicious if we approach him. And if we're attached to those inauspicious things, it's a painful process.
This, talking about this Ganapati and the milk, this doubt is there in my mind, so I thought I'll clarify it. Whatever that has happened before 2 days back, all over the world we got the news that the milk was being accepted by Ganapati. Means Ganapati was accepting this milk. And it has come in the newspaper, everything in the TV, everything was, we have seen it also. As you say that we want pure devotional service. Now, the thing which I am not able to understand is, Ganapati, he is a devotee. He might not be a pure devotee, but he is a devotee.
He is a pure devotee.
Okay, so once he is a pure devotee, then why is it so that Ganapati is accepting a milk from those people, those who are meat eaters, those who are drunkards, those who are completely not following regulatory principles? Is it not so that Ganapati, when he accepts those milk directly from them, even his mind would not be getting contaminated by that? So why is he accepting that thing from those people who are completely not at all following the rules and regulations?
He is in the role of a demigod. Even though he's a great, great soul, he's an expansion of Lord Shiva, who's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So we should know that in the role of a demigod, this is his service within the material world. Why did Lord Shiva give Vrikasura the benediction that anyone whose head he's touched will crack? Vrikasura was a demon. Why did Brahma give the benediction to Hiranyakashipu? Why did Brahma give the benediction to Ravan? They were also meat eaters. Was Ravana not a meat eater? He used to eat the meat of humans and drink their blood. But still, Lord Shiva and Brahma accepted his offerings and gave him the benedictions. Because in the role of demigods, that is their responsibility. In the role of demigods, their responsibility is to accept the offerings of materialistic people and give them material benedictions in return. So as a demigod, but don't think that he's satisfied. He's satisfied when he sees people chanting Hare Krishna. When Ganapati sees the Vaishnavas having beautiful kirtan, he's very happy. When he sees his own so-called devotees offering him material things for material purposes, out of responsibility he may accept and respect and reciprocate, but he's not happy by it. Brahma was not happy by Hiranyakashipu's offerings. Shiva was not happy by Ravana's offerings. Shiva was not happy by Brikasura cutting off his flesh and offering it to him in puja. But as a responsibility, he had to accept it because that is his role as a demigod. So if you want my opinion, my humble opinion, that when these materialistic people are offering Ganesh milk, I don't think he's drinking it. I think he's just making it disappear. I don't see why he would want to drink from the hands of such materialistic. As far as I know, Ganesh only accepts the Mahaprasad of the Lord. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained, when people are giving goats and buffaloes to Kali, they're offering it to Kali, Prabhupada says Kali doesn't accept it. He said Kali is the consort of Shiva. Kali's Parvati. She's the Shakti of the Lord. Kali will only accept the remnants of Shiva. And Shiva will only accept the remnants of Vishnu. Correct? So when they offer the goats, what happens? What does she do with it? He said she takes it and she gives it to the demons to drink, the blood. She gives it to her associates who are ghostly, terrible beings. She gives it to she accepts it and gives it to them, but she won't eat it herself. So this is my opinion, that Ganapati will accept the Mahaprasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if materialistic people offer, he may take it away physically. He may accept the offering for their benefit, but he will not personally drink it. He will not personally eat it. He'll give it to somebody else. Or he'll make it disappear. But he will not take it in his own mouth. But still, just the fact that he, even though he may not eat it himself, just the fact that he takes it, there's some material benediction upon the person that he has accepted it even in that way. So there's no doubt people are getting material benefits whenever they approach the demigods with any amount of even material motives. They will get material benefits. So that's good, but it is not our concern. From the material point of view, it's good. But we don't go into a craze about these things. We just say, yes, yes, very nice. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Any other questions?